You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is John Carrillo. John is the latest addition to KTEP. He is our new development director, and John has a wealth of experience in public radio, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But first of all, John, thank you very much for being with us here today.
It's nice being here. Thank you for the invitation.
And welcome to KTEP.
Thank you.
Now, as I mentioned, you have a wealth of experience in public radio, so tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in broadcasting, how you started in public radio.
Oh, gosh, well, as you say, it goes way, way back. Pretty much when I was in high school, I kind of knew that I wanted to go into music or broadcasting or something related to that. But essentially, I got my start here at UTEP, at KTEP. This was back in the early 70s. And after my very first semester here at UTEP, I ended up getting my third-class radio telephone license. At the time, you needed a license to be on air. And worked at KTEP for one semester and was fortunate enough to actually get a job in commercial radio. So the entire time that I was actually a student, I was already working in commercial radio and did that for 8 years. Eventually getting my bachelor's degree in mass communication. And the whole point of it really was, more than anything else, my dream was to become a recording engineer. And so after being an announcer for approximately 7-8 years, I jumped into audio engineering and had the good fortune to be recruited by National Public Radio in Washington, D.C. at the network level as one of their engineers / broadcast technicians, and worked out there for approximately 10 years and then came back home after that period and got into administration during the period that I was with NPR in Washington. I also was selected to work on a very high visibility project working with Wynton Marsalis, the jazz trumpeter. Well, he's also a classical trumpeter as well. And worked on that project. It was called Making the Music. And that particular program earned me a Peabody Award back in 1995. So I guess the whole thread, the continuous thread through those years, I guess going back about 40 years now, has been writing. First starting writing public service announcements, commercials, later documentaries, later grants, proposals, pretty much everything, which is where I am at now, working as a development director for KTEP. So I'll be working on putting together the on-air campaigns as well as developing any grants that may be out there, specifically dealing with public radio.
Now, you mentioned that you won a Peabody Award, and for people who may not be familiar with broadcasting, a Peabody Award is a very prestigious award, and so congratulations on that. And a lot of people don't understand the fact that, why do I sound good? Well, I sound good because of people like Norma and Dennis who are behind the controls.
The other side of the window.
Yes, and that's what you did. And people, when they listen to NPR, a lot of people think of NPR and they think of it as the sound. The sound is just incredible. And so just like you're watching National Geographic because of the pictures, NPR is because of the sound, and you were part of that. And so it was your responsibility to learn how to do that. Morning edition, all things considered, even a newscast, it takes a lot of effort from a lot of people behind the scenes.
You're absolutely right. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. For most practical purposes, the casual listener is only familiar with the hosts and some of the reporters. But the technical team behind it, not just the audio engineers, but also the satellite engineers, for example, and the maintenance engineers, they are all responsible for maintaining that NPR sound. And it's interesting you should say that, because there is what they call an NPR sound. It is it's highly technical. It's highly accurate. And that is one of the things that the network prides itself in, is to essentially bring life directly into your into your home, essentially through sound. And I think that is probably the key. And as such, they use the state-of-the-art tools to help them assist that, to assist them to bring that into the into your home.
When you mentioned the NPR sound, I guess a lot of people, if they don't understand and they need perhaps an example, it's, I guess, what life used to be in the 60s, their photography. I mean, yeah. Life photography was just like incredible. Mm-hmm. And so the astronauts, you know, the coverage of John Kennedy's death, all those, if it was a live picture, it meant that it was great. So the NPR sound, as you mentioned, is different. But it's interesting that you and I were talking about this the other day, mm-hmm. the fact that the announcers, a lot of people have talked with me and said, you have that NPR voice. You're, mm-hmm. you're very, very soothing, very quiet. However, you and I were talking about the announcers and the fact that they all seem to talk like this. and you said, perhaps that's something that you have to do at NPR. Robert Schickel.
I think it's probably an East Coast idiosyncrasy.
So you didn't talk like that when you were
I'm pretty much. I like to think that I really don't have an accent per se. But I think the key, you know, you mentioned that other people tell you have the NPR sound. I think what it translates into more than anything else that there is a very natural, down to earth delivery. It's not
in-your-face news headlines.
It's not embellished, and it's very conversationally, highly conversational, in the sense that when someone hears you, for example, on the air, or even someone from the network, it's a form of communication that's very one-on-one. There is no sense that they are talking down to you. There is more of a sense that you are having a conversation with that person. And that's something that's very difficult to do. And it takes time to learn. Essentially, radio is a very intimate medium. The people that are really good at it have mastered that ability to be able to communicate to literally maybe hundreds of thousands, possibly even millions of people that are out there in the radio world, but the listeners feel that they are being spoken with on a one-to-one basis. And that, I think, is the key more than anything else, that there is a conversation that is taking place, even though you can't because they're on the other side of the radio wave. But there is that sense that there is communication taking place.
So, for example, if there are four people in a car, the announcer is talking to you.
Absolutely.
Even though there are three other people in the car beside you, even then, everybody has a different perspective, different frame of reference. So what you hear may be different from what I hear. And because of that, this is something that we want to bring up. As development director, you are pretty much the person who brings the fund drive together, and then we all work together as a team to get on the air. And that's why we try and tell people that you are part of the station. We're talking to you. And so you as a contributor or you as an underwriter, you are part of the station. This station
Absolutely.
Belongs to you.
Absolutely. That's a very important reality that you bring up. There are a lot of people that that think that, okay, I'll just let somebody else make a donation or, you know, contribute to the radio station. And there's a lot of people think that, well, you're funded through the government. Well, that's only partially true in the sense that, yes, there are funds that are allocated through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to all the public radio stations in the United States. However, the amount of money that it takes to run a public radio station, regardless of the size, those monies that you get from CPB or through CPB are only cover a small amount. So the remainder of that money has to come from the listener. So the listeners are very much a part of the success of that radio station. And so KTEP, like every other public radio station in the United States, counts heavily on their listeners to provide that financial support.
Now, unfortunately, because of the violence that has been happening in Mexico, a lot of businesses have relocated to El Paso. And of course, that's good for the El Paso economy. It's too bad that it has to happen that way. However, because there are a lot of new businesses out there and they want to get in touch and being part of public radio, we need to explain to them, and people who listen to public radio already know about this, mm-hmm. but the fact that you can't buy a commercial on, but if you have a new business and you want to underwrite and you want to be part of the station, that way people can say, you know, this program is brought to you by John Carrillo's Cigarrillos. Okay.
Right. Well, that's an important distinction. You're absolutely right. There certainly is a difference between a commercial that you hear on a radio station and an underwriting credit that you hear on a public radio station. And the important thing is, though, that one of the advantages of underwriting is that you are essentially linking or aligning your business with a brand that has been created over a long period of time, which is KTEP/NPR. And no other commercial radio station or TV station, for that matter, can create that kind of linkage, that kind of alignment with that national brand, which is NPR KTEP. And that's important because the reputation and the quality of the programming that comes out of KTEP, not only the national programming that is contributed or brought to you by NPR, but the local programming is a very high quality. And you're not going to find that on a commercial radio station.
And you know, a lot of people listen to Dennis Wu in the morning with his morning jazz. Yes. And Dennis has brought in artists. He's brought in musicians, other people who he interviews on mm-hmm. the air. And not just that. You know, when you hear a song, Dennis is not just going to say, here is Duke Ellington with his version of blah, blah, blah. No, he's going to tell you a little bit about when this was recorded, sure. why it was recorded. And people are going to say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important because it's historical.
Sure.
And you're not going to hear it anywhere else. On a commercial station, you're probably going to hear, well, here's a latest from Duke Ellington. And right after this, we'll be giving away a ticket to blah, blah, blah. And so when you're talking about that quality programming, and then you mentioned branding also. Mm. Branding is very important because people are starting to be aware now that we are not what we used to be stereotyped as. We used mm-hmm. to be stereotyped as that NPR station for the elite. It's for people who have a lot of money. And we're finding out that there are a lot of people who listen to NPR. Dennis and I spoke at Coronado High School mm-hmm. last year, and there were a lot of young people who mm-hmm. listened to NPR.
Absolutely. I think that the beauty of that is that the type of programming that you hear here on KTEP is unique. Dennis is a very good example. He's one of the icons of broadcasting here in El Paso. He's been on the air, gosh, you know, 20, 30 years. And you're right. He brings a lot of not only institutional knowledge, but knowledge about music that you're not going to be able to find anywhere else. I'll give you a quick story. When I was working in commercial radio, the last 4 years I did at two different stations, I was the morning drive DJ. We were only allowed to have 20 seconds coming in and out of a record to talk. So, you know, the type of information that you give in 20 seconds is very minimal. It does not allow you to provide the kind of background, the kind of communication that someone like Dennis can provide on a radio station such as this. That's a very big very big difference. And you're absolutely right. There are listeners from all age groups and all socioeconomic groups that listen to the radio station. And I think one of the keys there is if you want to hear the best news, you're only going to find it from NPR. You know, you can argue, well, yeah, I can, you know, listen to or watch TV. Well, they're only going to, the most that they're going to give a story is maybe 3 minutes. NPR will give you a whole 15 to 20 minute segment on a particular topic if it warrants it. So they're not limited by time per se. And I think that's one of the keys. And you know, if you want to hear in-depth news, you want to hear top quality jazz, classical music, this is the only place you're going to get it.
You talk about branding again and the tone. Everyone is, well, I don't want to say everyone, but a lot of people are familiar with the voice of Norma Martinez, okay? And sure. They'll say, a lot of people will tell us, we wake up to Norma every morning. And nowhere else are you going to hear Top of the Morning to You by Dennis Wu. And the fact that we offer, as you mentioned, other things and long pieces. I remember Leanne Hansen, and this being the 50th anniversary of the Beatles invading America, Leanne Hansen did an 18-minute interview with a gentleman who wrote a book called Beatle Gear about all the different instruments that the Beatles played.
Right.
And 18 minutes in commercial radio, they're not going to give that to you.
They're not going to give it to you on TV either.
No. In fact, we used to do stories. Dennis was a producer. I was a reporter anchor. And they'd say, okay, this is a very important story. So we'll give you a minute 20. And that includes the anchor intro. It's like, wait a minute. What are we going to tell him?
Exactly.
And so, as you mentioned, having worked at the network, you know also at the network level the kind of quality that they expect from you. And they're not going to take anything else but the best.
Absolutely.
They're going to say, you're going to get better and better and better. And the fact that they keep raising the bar is even interesting, more interesting, because people now with social media, if they want to hear more about a story, they can go to npr.org and click on that link and find out more.
Absolutely.
So I would imagine that because of the brand, it makes it a little bit easier now, the fact that a lot more people are listening to NPR than 20 years ago.
Absolutely. And that's I think that's key, is because we are unique. We are the only NPR affiliate in El Paso. We're the only ones that can offer classical music, jazz. We have the talent. And quite frankly, I'll put our talent, whether it's Norma, yourself, or Dennis, up against anybody here in town. I mean, there's no comparison.
Thank you.
And I would, you know, even say, take it a step further, that I had the opportunity to work with the top people there at NPR, and I put you guys right up there with them. You guys are the consummate professionals, and that is what the NPR sound. That's where it originates from.
Well, thank you, John. That means a lot.
You're welcome.
And especially with you working at the network, like with all these people. And thanks for being with us. And again, welcome
to
the team. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTAP Studios, University of Texas El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.